Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
There, let me say to you that someone suggested to me that I share with you an experience that I had when I was around 21 years old, having just gotten saved shortly before this, that I share with you my experience in prayer, my first prayer. And I said to the brother, I said, well, I would think most people here would know that. He said, no, they don't. I remember sharing that experience. Maybe it was back in 85, 84, somewhere in there. And so I have been thinking about this person's request. And so when I was asked to share some thoughts tonight, I said, can I have next Thursday as well? Not that I want to preach all the time, but can I have next Thursday as well? By all means, the brother said, because I want to speak to all of you, but to the young men particularly. So let's have some thoughts on prayer. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and just look down at the latter part of verse 1. Luke, chapter 11, verse 1, latter part, the disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. This was probably the greatest request that the disciples made of the Lord. Why did they not say, Lord, teach us to perform miracles? Or, Lord, teach us to preach? And both of these requests would have been justified in view of the fact that the one in their midst was the divine miracle worker and the greatest preacher the world has ever known or will know. Why would they ask of the Lord, teach us to pray? Think about that. These men had been steeped in Judaism and praying daily throughout one's life is part of Judaism. Did these men not know how to pray? Oh, they had said prayers, but they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not to perform miracles, not to preach. Lord, teach us to pray. Why such a request? It was probably because they were becoming aware of the power and influence of the Lord's communion with His Heavenly Father. And that behind His power over human bodies and the spiritual and moral effects of His preaching was His communion with the Father. There was a vital contact with the unseen world with which He was so familiar and from which He had come. Lord, teach us to pray. Young people, older ones, let me ask you, and I'm thinking of my question too. How is your prayer life? If we only knew the prayer that has gone up for each one of us. I look to see some of these younger people when I remember they were just little children when, and some weren't even born, but some others were just little children when we started coming to Spanish Wells. And God is my witness, I do not boast, but I am so thankful that I had the joy and the privilege of being one of the links in the chain of the salvation of some of you young people. Praise God. And to see you now, not only adults, but married, and are parents or are becoming parents, making me feel old. But how is your prayer life? And as you younger people get a little older, you're realizing it more and more now, but as you get older, and as the Lord entrusts to you little bundles of life, increasingly you're going to realize and appreciate the value of prayer. It's going to cause you to realize increasingly how much prayer has gone up and is going up for you. One day a little girl was left with the cook and the nurse. And the little girl wandered into the kitchen, and the cook, not seeing the little intruder coming up behind her, stumbled over her. And at once the crying child rushed to her mother's room, and when the nurse found her, she was hugging one of her mother's dresses. "What are you doing here?" asked the nurse. "I want my mama," she said. She was sobbing and clinging to her mother's dress. But clinging to her mother's dress did not suffice to comfort the hurt of that little child. And even so, merely clinging to the form of prayer cannot comfort the human heart, nor bring power into our life, nor accomplish things in the world for the Lord. If we only knew how much prayer has gone up and is going up for us. We think of this testimony here, and thank God for it. What has been the moving force behind the starting of and the continuation of this testimony here? It's not the preaching. It's prayer. Prayer. Are we holding on simply to the form of prayer? Maybe I've told you, maybe someone else has told you about the two men who were crossing a pasture. And they looked around and saw a big bull charging them. They started running. One said to the other, "Pray, John." John said, I can't pray. I don't know any prayers. "John, pray. The bull is coming down on us. Pray, John." "Well," he said, "maybe I can offer one prayer." "Do it, John. Pray." And John said, "Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Is that the extent of some prayers here? I heard about the two men who perhaps had imbibed just a little too much. And they got to talking about the Bible and prayer. And the one asked the other, "What do you know about prayer?" He said, "I know a lot about prayer." He said, "Oh, don't tell me that. You don't even know the Lord's Prayer." He said, "I do know the Lord's Prayer. Let me hear you pray it." He said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." The other fellow said, "Well, you sure fooled me. I didn't think you knew it." Young people, older people, how is your prayer life? Now listen, prayer is not magical. prayer is not simply a means to an end. And prayer is not and should not be mechanical. Mr. D.L. Moody was addressing a crowded meeting of children in Edinburgh, Scotland on one occasion some years ago, and in order to get the attention of the children, he began with a question, "What is prayer?" And looking for no reply and expecting to give the answer himself, to his amazement, scores of little hands shot up all over the hall. And he asked one lad to reply, "What is prayer?" And his answer came at once clear and correct. He said, "Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for the things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies." You talk about a surprise preacher. He said, "Thank God, my boy, you were born in Scotland." What is prayer? Well, I thought about this, and I've come up with 5 divisions of prayer. There might be more. Now, keep in mind that prayer, in a general sense, is being in communion with the Father. But there are divisions of prayer. First of all, there is adoration to God. Say it with me. Adoration to God. Once again, adoration to God. And it might be more correct to say adoration of God. But that would be worship. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Another division of prayer would be acknowledgement of guilt. Say it with me. Acknowledgement of guilt. Once again, acknowledgement of guilt. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another division would be asking for oneself. Asking for oneself. Once again, asking for oneself. This is petition or supplication. First one, adoration of God, worship, acknowledgement of guilt, confession, and asking for oneself, petition or supplication. The fourth would be advocacy for others. Advocacy for others. Once again, advocacy for others. This is intercession. And lastly, the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. Once again, the attitude of gratitude or thanksgiving. Now, as I said, there might be more, but these would be the divisions of general communion with God. Young people, older people, no person is greater than his or her prayer life. No person is greater than their prayer life. We need to pray. Now we realize that reading the Word of God and praying go together. And what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to the Lord in prayer, and that is blessed communion. Scripture tells us that we are to always be in the attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Bible tells us. That doesn't mean pray without stopping. I asked an older brother some years ago, I said, "What do you think that scripture means when it says pray without ceasing?" That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And he said to me, well, it doesn't mean pray without stopping. But he said it means to always be in the attitude of prayer. Always be conscious of the Lord's presence. And always be in the attitude of prayer. What are the conditions for prayer, for answered prayer? A good conscience. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, said the psalmist. A good conscience. James 4:3, a pure motive. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And unwavering confidence. Our confidence is in the Lord. James 1:6-7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And as we have heard, obedience. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We're to pray in his name. John 16:24. Hitherto, said the Lord, have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, what does it mean to pray in his name? Some say, well, it means whatever you say, simply put his name at the end. Like one is signing a check and making it valid. Well, no, I believe there's more involved than that. I believe praying in his name is praying on his authority. And I believe that included in all of this is, how would the Lord Jesus pray about this? How would his prayer be? Let's pray in his name. Let's pray on his authority. And according to his will. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. How is your prayer life? I was reading something earlier that one lady had to say, Lillian M. Weeks. Let me read that in closing. If I could only know the blessing that has come into my life because my friends have gone into the secret place and there have prayed for me, I'm sure my soul would be bowed down in deep humility that I had had so small a part in the success that may have come my way. We are so blind and often think things just happen by chance. But if for one brief day the veil were parted and we could see the power that guides and guards our steps and how power makes the contact and releases it in our lives, the fulfillment of some cherished hope, our doubts would vanish. And no longer would we say that it just happened so, for back of every blessing is a reason. And so many times the reason is someone has prayed. How is your prayer life? Well, I remember when we started going to the chapel in Richmond, Virginia, Louise and I, back in 1954, everything was completely new. And it was quite obvious to me that the song leader or the speaker was calling on people extemporaneously because invariably they would say, brother, so-and-so, you know. And so I know this was pick and choose here. And this really bothered me. And so I had quite an experience in prayer that I'll share with you, God willing, next Thursday night. And it's not unique. A number here have had a similar experience in praying. How is your prayer life? Let's turn to number 594 in the Redemption Songs. 594. And let's sing the first, third, and fourth stanzas. I hope this is the tune that I know, but I understand you know it, so if it is not the same tune that I know, you go ahead and sing it, okay? 594. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. 594.